Our epistle lesson this morning is from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear now the word of our Lord. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write you, for you know that very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should not surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And now we turn to our gospel lesson in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, Jesus has given a series of parables here. He's talked about in all through Matthew 23, he talked about the woes to the hypocrites and woes to the Pharisees, and he called the Pharisees a brood of vipers, and because they would not accept his word. And then he gave a talk about the signs at the end of the age that we just read about in Thessalonians. And here he is on the Mount of Olives preaching to his disciples. And he talked about how the day and the time was unknown. And then to give further example that the day and the time of unknown of his coming, he gave the parable of the 10 virgins. And don't you remember how in this parable, the 10 virgins, the 10 young ladies were awaiting the arrival of the bridegroom for the wedding feast. And it was night, and they were waiting, and some of them brought extra oil for their lamps, and others did not. And the lesson was on being prepared, to being ready when the Lord comes, and to make it a focus of your life. And so we now begin here in the 14th chapter, and it says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Now, for your information, a talent, it's through research over the years, a talent is not a coin, it is a weight. And so we don't know if it was a weight of silver or it was a weight of gold. We don't have any way of knowing that. But either way, a talent would have been, a denarii was 1 day's wage. You remember the parables that talk about each was paid a denarii. A talent was probably 15 to 20 years' wages. So a lot of money, a lot of money. So he gave, to one another, each according to his ability. This is a very important thing to keep in your mind in this parable. It says the man gave five to one of them, two to another, and one to another, each according to their ability. So the man knew their ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received five talents went at once and put his money to work and gained five more. So also the one with the two talents gained two more. But the man who had received one talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received five talents brought the other five. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with five talents, and see, I have gained five more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." The man with two talents also came. "Master," he said, "you entrusted me with two talents. See, I have gained two more." His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." The man who had received one talent came. "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you." His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers, so when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. He who does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And this is the word of our Lord. Now, our scripture today is then followed by yet another parable. And this one will be familiar to you as well. And it says, when the Son of God, of man, comes to his glory, all the angels with him, he'll sit on the throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And it goes on to talk about how to the sheep he says he gives them thanks. For when he was naked, they clothed him. When he was hungry, they fed him. When he was thirsty, they gave him something to drink. When he was in prison, they came to visit him. And it goes on. And of course, you remember from the Sermon on the Mount, he talked about these things. And they said, "Lord, we didn't come and visit you in prison. We didn't feed you or clothe you or... what are you talking about?" And he said, "Whenever you did it to the least of mine, you did it to me." And to the goats on his right, the people who were not of his flock, he said, "And I was hungry, and you didn't bring me anything to eat. And I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. And I was in prison, and you didn't come and visit me. And I was naked and you didn't clothe me." And they said, "Lord, when were you?" And they went through this. And he said, "Even as you did not do this for the least of them, you did not do it to me." And they were cast out like the man with the one talent. These are what Scripture describes elsewhere, what the disciple calls hard teachings. I mean, when you think of God, when you think of Jesus Christ, how do you think of Jesus Christ? When you explain Jesus Christ to a child, what do you tell them? Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus is gentle with you. Jesus will listen to you. And those things are true. They're absolutely true. But Jesus also sits on the throne. And Scripture tells us that every knee will bow. Every knee will bow in His presence. And everyone will be held accountable for their deeds, both good and bad. Jesus said in this parable that each of these servants of his, of the ruler who was, or the wealthy man who was leaving and entrusting his money in the hands of his servants, or some of his money in the hands of his servants, would each of these were giving according to their ability. Jesus does the same thing with you and me. Every one of us are led and given gifts, given abilities, and the word that we get, that we use today when we talk about a talent that people have. We hear of talent scouts searching out people to be actresses and actors and singers, and we hear about the scouts looking for sports men and women to compete on teams, to come to colleges and receive scholarships because of their God-given talent. So the word that once meant a weight is now used as an ability, because Scripture linked it in the Scripture that was written by Matthew. The word that means weight, a weight of precious something or another, is forever linked with what Scripture says is the ability of the person who receives it. Our Father calls each and every one of us to do His will and to do His work, to carry the light out into the world. Our Father gives us His Word. Our Father gives us His Holy Spirit to encourage us, to comfort us, to guide us, and to lead us. But He gives it to each of us according to the ability that He has given us from birth. He gives us work to do. He gives us service to do. He gives us His words to carry out to others. He gives us the good news of the gospel. He gives us an example of how to pray. He gives us the example of Jesus Christ coming to us, coming to this world, not as a ruler sitting on a throne, but coming as a servant, coming in the form of a man, being born from the womb of a woman, living and toiling among us, and dying just as we die. He gives us a hope. That wonderful, that exciting, that absolutely amazing inconceivable, joyful hope of eternal life with Him. Now, it is easy to jump from a lesson of good works to believing that we can work our ways into heaven. And we know we can't. It is only through the grace of God that we are saved. But it's also through the grace of God that we are given the skills and abilities and the opportunities to share the word of our Lord with others. It is through God's grace that we are placed here. It is through God's grace that we are given our talents. Our Father in heaven did not give us eternal life to live it eternally for ourselves. That was not what God has in mind. God did not give us eternal life to spend it alone. He did not give us eternal life to spend it toiling for ourselves. He did not give us eternal life to do what we want to do. He has given us eternal life, and believe me, your eternity began when you received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He has given you eternal life for a purpose. Our Father is ready to reveal that purpose to us and re-reveal that purpose to us, because our purpose changes from time to time. Paul started off his life in service of the Jewish community. He thought that he was serving the Lord. But God stopped him on the road to Damascus and knocked him down on the road and shone a great bright light. And in that light, he revealed Jesus Christ to him. And Paul was turned around. And Paul left his life as a persecutor of Christians to become the greatest evangelist and teacher and preacher the world has ever known, in the name of Jesus Christ. But Paul's life has changed from time to time. Paul went back to his hometown and lived there, but he was only allowed to live there for a few years, and Barnabas came and got him and took him off on his first mission trip. And Paul's life from that time forward was one of going where he wasn't wanted, to say what they did not want to hear. And to be beaten and stoned and imprisoned and threatened for everything that he did. But God had given Paul talent. And Paul used the talent to serve God. God gave Moses talent. But for 40 years, Moses toiled on a farm out in the wilderness with the family of the woman that he married. And then God called him in a burning bush and led Moses for the next 40 years to serve him in a very different way, to write the Old Testament of the Bible, to stand before the people, to deliver to the people the Ten Commandments, to speak with God and to hear God, and even at one point to have a glimpse of God. Our Father in heaven has works in people's lives, and some he works in their lives from their birth, and some he begins only in their older age. But God has given us each gifts. God has given us each talents. And God has given us urgency. Doing the work of God, sharing the word of God with others, talking to people who need to hear about God and serving God's people is not something that we can say that, well, maybe I'll do that when I retire. Maybe I'll do that when I get this other stuff done. Maybe I'll do that later. Jesus Christ has said that this is an urgent matter, that we need to prepare for His coming. He said He will come in a thief. As a thief in the night when we least expect Him. And He said there'll be people saying, Lord, Lord, but He'll say, I don't know you. Paul told us that it is time to make sure of our salvation. It is time to set ourselves right with God. It is time for us to be in communion with God, in communion with the Holy Spirit, and to hear what God has to say to us, what He has planned for us, what work He has for us to do. He does not save you for eternity for nothing. Why would anybody save something for nothing? God has preserved us for a purpose. God has preserved you to use you, to build upon you, to serve Him in His work, building the kingdom. Now, your work is not the same as my work, and my work is not the same as your work, and my gifts are not the same as your gifts, and yours are not the same as mine. Each of us has been given according to God's will, according to God's purpose. As I've told you before, God's plan is like an enormous puzzle with trillions and trillions of tiny little pieces, and each of us are only that one little piece, and by themselves make no sense at all. But when you put all the pieces together, we have a plan. But what good is a puzzle that's put together with a piece missing? And that could be your piece. That could be the piece that is given to you. That could be the piece that God has given you the talent for, that God has prepared you for. And He may have prepared you for this for a year. He may have prepared you for this for 70 years. It doesn't matter. God has a plan, and the time is near, and the time is urgent, and it comes like a thief in the night. And we must be prepared for the coming of the Savior. We must be prepared for the time that God has allotted us. And there is an urgency. And our Father in heaven is a loving God. Our Father in heaven has given to us so richly, so graciously, so generously. But our Father in heaven doesn't give to us for nothing. Our Father in heaven has a plan. And He's given to each and every one of us for a reason. And the plan is His, and the reasons are His. And we don't know what the reasons are, and we don't know what the plans are. And tell you the truth, until we start using them, we don't even know sometimes what those talents are. I got to tell you that you never know what you can do until you do it. Everything I've ever been able to do in life, there was someone, in my opinion, who could do it much better than me. Why won't they do it? Well, they're not going to do it because God has a plan for you to do it. You can't wait for the person who has the best ability to do it, in your opinion, because God has a plan. It's God's plan. And He doesn't always use the tallest person to make the basket. He doesn't always use the biggest person to lead the crowd. He doesn't always use the smartest person to teach, and he sure doesn't use the most eloquent person to preach. I can tell you that God uses us according to His will and not according to our will. And when you are ready to serve, God will be with you. The Spirit will guide you. The Spirit will lead you. But we must serve our Lord. You were not preserved for no reason. You were not given eternal life for eternal solitude. You were not given eternal life for eternal selfishness. You were not given eternal life for your purposes. You were not given eternal life to serve your family. You were given eternal life to serve the Lord. The Lord has plans for you and for me. And we are called to serve Him. And the Lord will not be happy with us when we show up having buried our talents in the ground, having put aside the Lord's will for our own will, and having decided on our own to ignore the calling of the Lord. The term, "I will come like a thief in the night," is meant to make it urgent, is meant to make it scary, is meant to make us understand that we have no idea how much time we have to serve. And it doesn't matter. Because our service could be summed up in one day, or one decade, or in 50 years, or longer. It's up to the Lord, because it's the Lord's plan. It's the Lord's calling. It's the Lord's puzzle. We are our part, and we have to be there, or there'll be a big hole in the plan. We cannot succumb to the temptation to think that somebody else can do a better job than us. We cannot succumb to the temptation to think that, well, we need to, that someone else has been called, so let's let them do it. We're not to allow our ego to put us in charge of things that the Holy Spirit has not. But we're not to use as an excuse not to do things, thinking that we're being generous to others. God has a plan for you. God knows you by name. God knows you personally. And God speaks to you. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to His Word. We need to spend time in His prayer. And we need to spend time reading His Word and understanding how it is calling and forming our lives. God did not call you for no reason. God did not give you eternal life and salvation for no purpose. Seek out God's plan for you. Amen.